Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I get to introduce a new type of episode, a new format for the podcast. We're calling it the mailbag. And the idea for me began, frankly, as a Kansas City Royals baseball team fan. I often read the Kansas City Star sports page and have followed the Royals since moving to Kansas City. And occasionally through the sports page and also more commonly through the social media feed of the sports writers, I have a mailbag about once a week where followers can send in questions and get them answered. I've always loved reading the mailbag personally for kind of inside scoop on the Royals. And for me, at the same time, hosting this podcast, I get emails in the office, not infrequently, through my personal email account, through the president's office account, through social media channels. People wanted me to ask questions, or to answer questions, rather, about preaching, about pastoring, about the local church. And so for me, it's just over the past weeks, it's just come together as a new format I want to embark upon. What is more, frankly, gives me the opportunity to be a touch more personal with our listeners. I am amazed by God's goodness and the growth of this podcast and the way over the past year and a half or so. It's really taken off. And it's just something I love to do. It's a labor of love, frankly. It takes time, but I love to do it because I love to encourage preachers and pastors, love to hear from preachers and pastors, and I always enjoy and benefit from the conversation I'm having with my guests. So this is a little different. This is me talking to you, preacher to preacher, pastor to pastor, friend to friend, talking about issues related to preaching and preachers. Let me say on the front end that if you have questions, and we would love to hear from you and to receive these, the best way to get those to us will be simply sending those to the Preaching and Preacher Twitter handle, which is PreachingJKA, PreachingJKA. And if you'll tweet those questions at us, we'll try to collect those and engage those in the weeks and months ahead. How often will we do this? I don't know. Probably once every month or two. But I'm thrilled to be doing it, and I hope this serves a need for you and that you'll be encouraged by the conversation today. So what we've done today is we've sought to lump together a number of questions, in particular around preaching and sermon preparations. These are all directed to me kind of in the first person. How do I prepare sermons? How do I manage my time to be able to prepare sermons? How do I plan my preaching, that sort of thing? And I will probably actually try to give the name of the individual who sent these in. Some of these are a touch harder to pronounce, but would like to at least reference those who sent in the question. And so, again, the theme hour, we might say, is preaching and sermon prep. Now, I got the theme hour idea from Dave Ramsey, who I occasionally hear in the car, and he'll have, you know, small business theme hour or millionaire theme hour, and the questions tend to be devoted to those topics. Well, probably most of our listeners cannot relate to small businesses or millionaires, but the theme hour concept is something that we will do as possible, as helpful, to kind of cluster together a few questions in one episode. So with that, without further introduction, let me just hop in here. So preaching and sermon prep. I have a question that came in from Zach Van Giesen. Zach asked this: I begin my first pastorate next Sunday. By God's grace, the kind people at Chandler Springs Baptist Church in Talladega, Alabama, unanimously voted to call me as pastor last Sunday. Any advice for a new pastor, but moderately experienced preacher, planning a preaching calendar for 2019? Zach, congratulations on your new pastorate. Happy for you. May God bless you as you transition to that new role, and may it be an exhilarating experience for you, and if you have a family, for your family, and a very fruitful experience for the church there. What is more, welcome to Alabama, my home state. I'm from Mobile, the other end of the state, but you'll enjoy Talladega, no doubt. So the new pastor, any advice for preaching and planning one sermon calendar in that setting? Yes, I have a lot of advice. It wasn't that long ago that I was in my first pastorate. The year was 2001. I was an MDiv student at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. I was pastoring the Muldrow Baptist Church in Muldrow, Kentucky. It's situated right beside Fort Knox. It's about 35, 40 minutes from Louisville proper, from the seminary was my commute. And I had a delightful pastor there. I was there nearly 4 years. God blessed the church. We grew. We established some relationships there with people that we still keep up with to this very day. Sweet, sweet season. I very much remember, though, asking myself this very question. Okay, God has called me here. What do I do? What am I going to preach on? How am I going to shepherd the people of God there? I think you have to begin with a basic awareness of the church and where the church is. If the church has not been used to, for instance, expositional preaching, you need to be mindful of that. If the church has not been used to, let's say, lengthier sermons, you need to be mindful of that. What did the previous preacher preach from? If he preached, you know, 4 years through the Gospel of John, well, you need to be mindful of that. That tells you, A, perhaps you can embark on a longer series. Tells you, B, it probably doesn't need to be the Gospel of John. You need to be mindful of what your predecessor did and what your predecessors, plural, have done. At the same time, you need to be very mindful of your own level of gifting, your own level of interest. So for me, I had enough self-awareness, thank the Lord, to know, man, I'm new at this. Our church hasn't been used to a lot of lengthy series. I myself have never preached, you know, a two-year series through the book of Romans. And so for me, I wanted to be mindful of my own gifting at that level, my own ability, my own experience, and also mindful, best I could discern, of what the church had experienced in the previous years and even previous couple decades. So for me, I embarked upon some bite-sized series. I preached several sermons from Psalm 23. I did like a two-month series on the Beatitudes and then extended that into the Sermon on the Mount. I preached through the book of James on a Sunday morning, which is manageable. I preached the book of Philippians at one time on Sunday morning. And so for me, I'm trying to preach the Word of God in a way that doesn't compromise who I believe God's called me to be, what I believe God's called me to do. I'm doing that in such a way also to be mindful of the people there. So I would say to you, the two biggest principles are to be mindful of the church, that congregation, and mindful of your own ability, your own gifting. And if you're new, it's probably not going to be a winning scenario for you to launch on a three-year series to the book of Ezekiel. Their ability to absorb it, your ability to manage it. You know, and I would just point us back to some other people who are kind of heroes in ministry. You look at a guy like John MacArthur, who obviously now has been at Grace Community Church, roughly 50 years, and he has preached some of these massive series for many, many years, the book of Romans, many, many years, through the Gospel of Matthew, for instance. And it's easy to look at John MacArthur then, you know, 15, 20 years ago at the age of 65 or 60, and a man who'd been preaching at that same church for 30 years and think, well, that's just how you do it. You should be like John MacArthur and preach, you know, for 4 years to the Gospel of Matthew. Well, when John MacArthur was a younger man, new at Grace Community Church, he preached the book of Romans and he preached through the book of Ephesians, but he did that in a far more condensed way. And then 20, 30 years later, he went back and preached to those books again, being much more deliberate, taking a much longer path through. So all that to say, even if you are as gifted as a 32-year-old John MacArthur or a 35-year-old John MacArthur, which is probably unlikely, understand that even when he was a young man in a new church, he was intentional not to give his people more than they could rightly absorb. So Zach, man, I'm happy for you, brother. I truly am. I'm grateful to God's call in your life, and I pray for you. Even as I'm recording this podcast, I will pause at the end here and pray for you that the Lord bless you in your new ministry. One final word, you asked about a preaching calendar itself. I'm kind of back and forth on those. I want a general sense of where I'm going, but I'm not too scripted to say, okay, 12 months from now on this Sunday, I am preaching for sure this passage. I'm not convictionally opposed to that. Some guys do it. Some guys don't. I know generally where I'm going in the months ahead. I know specifically where I think I'm going in the weeks ahead. Well, you say, what can adjust that? Well, if I'm preaching through a book of the Bible, it just so happens that, man, oftentimes you're preaching through, you know, the Gospel of John, and you think that a particular passage in John, as you look at it, you know, 6 months out, you think that's going to be one sermon. But as you get closer to it and you begin to study, that one sermon really becomes two different sermons. And so that's where I want to have a little bit of latitude in my own study. And in the sense in sensitivity to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life and what's going on in our church, and as I'm studying that text to say, you know what, I really need to pull over here, and I need to spend 2 or 3 weeks on this particular passage as opposed to just one, because the Lord is showing me something that's really urgent for our church. And so I don't be the kind of person that says, man, I just can't do this because that's going to throw off my calendar, you know, 8 months out. I want to have that latitude. So, plan, I think it's a great idea to kind of map out where you will likely go for that first year, but don't feel bad if you find yourself adjusting along the way. That's entirely okay. Hey, friends, before we move on to the next question, let me pause here just for a brief word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's 81-hour Master of Divinity degree prepares you for ministry today and tomorrow. Midwestern Seminary's flagship degree program is our primary track for ministry preparation. Requiring only 81 credit hours, the MDiv program is an efficient option for students, equipping them to serve the church in pastoral ministry. Residential students will be trained in a unique community environment passionately focused on the local church. Online students can earn the full degree without leaving their current ministry context. Come be a part of one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America as we develop a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Visit mbts.edu/mdiv today.
All right, I'm back and answering questions from the mailbag on preaching and sermon preparation. All right, we have another question here from Tyler Shores. Tyler Shores, what advice do you have for a young man, a new pastor, who has a church giving him more preaching responsibilities than he feels is manageable? Then he has in parentheses, many preach four times a week. Tyler, let me tell you, you are touching on something here that is, I think, is a very real issue. And that, man, I have been there. I have done that. I have lived it. Just by way of example, when I was in college, I began to struggle with recurring headaches. And again, it's a tendency for at least for me and for many of us, I suppose, to kind of normalize or standardize what we're experiencing and thinking, well, I guess this is normal and other people do. And I went through a season there in college when I had basically like a daily headache, not a crisis where I couldn't function, but I just kind of had some throbbing and, you know, was living a less than enjoyable life day to day because of this headache. Well, I just kind of kept living that for a period of months before I finally got around to go to my doctor, and he diagnosed it, put me on some medication I continue to take to this day, now 20 years later. I still get headaches, but they are not as regular nor as intense because of that medication. I share that to say, man, looking back, I really wish I would have went to my doctor earlier and diagnosed and realized what was a difficult situation I was subjecting myself to for many weeks, indeed many months, before I went to the doctor. My mind races back to that same first pastor I talked about, and not just that first pastor, but other churches I've served since, where I signed up to preach four times a week. And man, I remember this so vividly. I'm preaching Sunday morning expositional series. I'm preaching at this juncture, as I just mentioned, Sunday morning, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. I launched in a series on 1 Thessalonians, which is a great book to preach through, by the way. I did a series on 1 Thessalonians. Meanwhile, on Sunday night, I have different book series going. One time I was preaching the book of Revelation on Sunday night. Again, that was a lot for me to bite off as a young man, but I did it. I was preaching through other, you know, kind of lengthy series on Sunday night. On Wednesday night, I was preaching through in concert of the prayer meeting, preaching through different psalms. And then I launched a Saturday morning men's Bible study where I wasn't preaching, of course, but I was teaching the scriptures. Sometimes it was just working through a passage of scripture. Sometimes it was working through some kind of book we were reading, and I was teaching, providing handouts from it. However you roll it up, that basically gave me four sermon prep scenarios a week. And looking back, I was like that guy when I was in college who had a headache and didn't realize the challenge I was in at the time. And now I look back and say, man, I was such a dummy. Why didn't I go to the doctor earlier and get medication, help my headaches, as opposed to just living with that for so many months? Looking back, I wasn't a dummy, but I was perhaps a touch ambitious to be undertaking four distinct series like that, 25 years old, and having to prepare these sermons essentially from scratch every week. And then I got into, frankly, for me, not just what was the church's expectations, but frankly, what were my self expectations and convictions I had and do have about preaching. And I was like, I'm not earning my paycheck if I'm not cranking out four sermons a week. That put me living with, man, I have a gun to my head every hour of the day to prepare these sermons. I would get up Monday morning, and I would sometimes try to take Monday morning off and kind of, you know, clear my head from the Sunday. But, man, I am hustling basically Monday morning through Saturday night, even to Sunday morning, these different sermons. And then Sunday afternoon, I mean, I would spend 3 hours or so after I ate lunch with my family kind of hustling to put the final touches on the Sunday night service. So I was living like in final exam week with four final exams per week and just that rush. Now, I tell people all the time, to preach is to live in final exam week. To not feel that probably means you have an insufficient view of the seriousness and the priority of the pulpit. At the same time, I would say it might be wiser, depending upon you, your calling, the team around you, the church's expectations, your season of life, etc., to only sign up for two final exams or three or maybe even one, as opposed to signing up for four final exams every week. So for me, what did that look like? Well, as the years began to pass, some different things happened. I kept doing that for many, many years, but I try to move away from that Wednesday night sermon being as much of a sermon where you're having to prepare for it. I try to move that more to more of an extended prayer time, and then more of kind of a devotion type a few words I could share to kind of frame the prayer time. But it wasn't, you know, me spending 8 hours preparing a sermon. It was more like me spending maybe 90 minutes to kind of frame the prayer time and 90 minutes of preparation to do that. I often would just kind of pluck something out of my morning devotions. to be able to do that. It also became, it also progressed over the years and me becoming a touch more comfortable, frankly, with other people preaching. So one sign of a healthy pulpit ministry is, as years pass, there are other laymen in your church who are growing in the Word of God and deepening in the faith, and they're increasingly capable to teach the Word and preach the Word eventually. Perhaps you have a staff that you can commission some. So again, I want to push you back to what is your season of life. By that I mean even family demands, educational responsibilities if you're in seminary, other family needs. What is the season of your church? Man, are they really expecting that? They've been having 30 years of three or four strong, you know, expositions a week. Okay, well then that presents a certain expectation there. I think you have to work through that. But I'll just tell you now, looking back, frankly, there's times I don't know how I did it. When I was 25 years old, 26, 28, 32. Young man, sprinting. Our kids were very young then, so I didn't have all the full trappings of fatherhood and parental responsibility of, you know, shuttling kids to ball games and all the things that go with life as your kids get a little older. But I just want to encourage you to do your best to make it manageable for you. If you find yourself feeling like you're trapped and like, I can just never get ahead and I'm further behind, and you find yourself like, man, this is so unmanageable, these expectations are so high, I just want to go pastor elsewhere. Those probably aren't healthy thoughts. Maybe you can solve that by, again, being intentional to change the nature of one of those services or two of those services. Maybe you can solve that by being intentional by if you're still going to have a service where someone is preaching, by farming out those services with someone who else in your church can preach or teach the Word of God. And it can be a great stewardship to them, again, to raise up and equip lay persons. The final thing I would say is, look, I've always thought to be intentional about economizing and getting a twofer, a military phrase, getting a twofer where you're kind of doing work on one thing, but it's kind of becomes work for two. So I remember one time, again, in seminary pastoring, and I was praying through what I was going to be my new preaching series, and there was an exegetical class on the book of Philippians being offered. I thought, man, that could be great. I could preach the book of Philippians for 6 months. And I could take this exegetical class as well and double up on my work. And it was great. It made me do better in the class because I was in the text more for the sermon prep. It made me do better in sermons because I was in the text more for my class. And it just really dovetailed quite nicely. Another occasion once I did a series on the Baptist history on Wednesday nights for a few months. I was taking Baptist history and Wednesday night crowd, folks that trended older. And they really wanted to do that. Another time, my Saturday morning men's Bible study, I transitioned that to a long series on hermeneutics. I had taken hermeneutics in seminary. I had that under my belt. I was equipped. I had great notes. What is more, I've been convinced of the importance of hermeneutics, of sound hermeneutics. And so I got kind of had this men's Bible study. I particularly recruited the different men who were in positions of leadership, of men who I thought could take on more leadership and be lay leaders in the church, men who were Sunday school teachers or could be Sunday school teachers. Not taught them, you know, probably 5 to 6 months through hermeneutics. So I was trying to dovetail different work commitments I had in the study and academically to complement one another. So Tyler, man, thank you for the question. Let me encourage you to continue to be faithful, to continue to monitor, again, your season of life, leverage other opportunities you have to strengthen and complement one another. All right, another question here, and this might be the last one we get to because I guess your host here is pretty long-winded. Matthew Millsap, who actually is a faculty member here at Midwestern Seminary and also assistant director of our library, fine young man, wrote a question about, are there any best practices for sermon preparation for bivocational pastors who often have less available preparation time than other pastors? That is a great question. Dr. Millsap expressed it to me through this social media exchange, but I get asked this often in other settings. Again, to go on the record, I am a bivocational pastor right now. I'm a seminary president, but I'm also getting to serve as interim pastor at First Baptist Jackson, so in a sense, I'm bivocational. I have done interims before in other settings where I was functioning as bivocational. So my heart resonates with the question. Moreover, my heart is out there for the great many thousands of ministers who are bivocational. Clearly, the majority of ministers out there are bivocational. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm working full-time. Well, if you define bivocational as to how many ministers are giving 40 hours a week, then maybe the majority of them are full-time. If you define bivocational by how many ministers are being paid less than a full-time, you know, wage that can support your family, the majority are not full-time. Therefore, that means they probably are having to supplement their ministry responsibility, whether it's a small business or some working in a factory or something to help bring additional income. All that to say, one way or another, their time is crimped. I think for me, a major life breakthrough was when I got comfortable with just the basic awareness that I have to allocate my life like a pie is sliced. Back to that first church I talked about, they were so gracious to where I had a lot of time to study. I would spend, though I had four sermon preps and I just talked about some of the challenges, I would often spend 25 or 30 hours a week preparing sermons. You're a young man, you're like one step ahead of the hounds, at least I was. I knew little more about the passage than what I was learning that week. And so everything just took longer. For me, I've been in ministry now 20 years. I've completed an MDiv degree, a PhD degree. I've preached, for 20 years, a little more than that now, actually. And so there's a reservoir. There's a war chest I have. That doesn't mean I can cut corners, but that doesn't mean I can get to the point more quickly than I otherwise could in previous years. Deo Volente, my knowledge of Scripture will continue to grow, and my war chest will grow larger, my reservoir will go deeper, and so when I look 10, 20, 30 years out, if God gives me that length of time, then I'll be increasingly better positioned. But here's my point. You have to just determine how you're going to divide up your time. Now, for me, no matter how tidy I do that, when I get into Saturday and Sunday morning, I'm still just like, again, I'm back in final exam week. I'm still reviewing. I'm still hustling. I still am fiddling with the sermon. But for me, I have to know right now, I can't give 20 hours to a sermon. I can't. I would be compromising my family or my seminary responsibilities. I just can't do that. So for me, that takes shape in a couple different ways. It for me means, what can I give? And so for me, for a sermon, whether it's where I'm interim pastor at First Baptist Jackson or just I'm invited to preach at a pastor's conference somewhere or another setting, for me that tends to look like about a 6 to 8 hour sermon prep. Usually that sometimes skews a little higher, sometimes it skews a little lower depending upon the text and my week, but it usually looks like 6 to 8 hours, kind of 4 to 5 hours in the week, early mornings. 1 or 2 days, early mornings, and then usually kind of 2, 3, 4 hours into the weekend. If I'm commuting somewhere on the plane, it gives me a couple hours to go over my sermon. Sunday morning, I'm always spending time reviewing it again. So usually it's about an 8 hour allocation I can make. So for you, I want to say being able to divide your week and your time in such a way that your conscience is clear before the Lord and you know you're stewarding your time in a faithful way to the church, that is key. What is more, though, also that you're faithful to your family and to other callings God has placed in your life. So maybe you're in a church that right now, your first year, you just need to spend a lot of time getting to know names and people and building pastoral credibility, making pastoral connections, building a staffing team around you, and all the things that go with that first year. If that's the case, I probably would not launch out on an original sermon series, the Book of Hebrews, where it's meaty, you have to do a lot of exegetical work, and you've never done it before. And so, that pie, though, you may want to slice a 6 hour, or 8 hour pie, a slice of pie for Sunday morning sermon. The reality is you can't do the text justice. So therefore, maybe you preach through a book in the Bible, A, that you've studied before, or B, you haven't, but it's just more manageable. I mean, you can hop in the book of Philippians, the book of Ephesians, one of these tight Pauline epistles, that though you've never preached through it, you know Paul, you know the general tenor of the book, you can hop into it, not have to spend 20 hours the first week trying to figure out what was going on in ancient Israel during the middle of this Old Testament narrative. So that's what I would say. So guys, thank you so much. Man, I've run out the clock here. Good grief. I'm a long-winded guy, I guess. But thank you so much to the three questions we're able to get to today. Zach Van Giesen, and then Matthew Millsap, and then Tyler Shores. And thank you, friends, for joining me on Preaching and Preachers. Again, it's an honor for me to get to speak to you here recurringly. Let me invite you, even ask you, if you enjoyed this podcast, if you would share it on social media, if you would go to iTunes and review it, my understanding is that really helps as far as enhancing the visibility of the podcast. That would mean a great deal to me personally. Always pleased to hear from you. And just thankful for the privilege and stewardship I have to get to encourage you through this format. Look forward to having you again, to being with you again in a conversation built on a mailbag with questions that are on your mind. Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.